Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour two, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. You bet we are celebrating the Masters in November. Lots of golf talk, PGA news and notes. We've had some amazing guests here in hour one and hour two. Right now, we're going to shift gears completely. We got to go around the horn. We're going to talk some baseball with my producer, and that is JackMC15. Give him a follow on Twitter. Hello, Jack. So, you know, in hour one, we were visiting with the former general manager of the Dodgers. He's celebrating their big season. But what were some of your takeaways from a modified season, only 60 games? Is there an asterisk in your mind by the Dodgers?
I don't think so, because as Fred was alluding to earlier, that every single team had to play under these conditions. And it just so happened that the Dodgers were the best team under all these conditions. But hey, the Tampa Bay Rays surely gave them a good fight.
And, you know, we think about who or what was the biggest game changer for the Dodgers. And immediately what comes to my mind is Mookie Betts. I mean, when they put him into the lineup, he added a very special element and a very special dynamic.
So when the Dodgers made the trade for Mookie Betts in the offseason, it did send shockwaves throughout the baseball world, because the Dodgers already had the highest payroll in all of baseball, and now they added a $360 million extension to Mookie Betts' contract. That indicated that the Dodgers were in all-in mode and that they would do whatever it takes to finally win a World Series, and that World Series finally materialized. But we'll see what happens in 2021 when a more normal baseball season happens. But I still think the Dodgers will be really good with the amount of depth that they have on that team.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about 2021, and I had asked Fred this as far as what is the belief. Do you think that the Dodgers can repeat as champions? And you're talking about just how stout their lineup is. I mean, they are so solid in every position. Are they your favorite going into next year?
They are the favorite. The Atlanta Braves will probably be second, because they have guys like Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman, Ozzie Albies that have really showed up in the playoffs, and we're one game away from going to the World Series himself. I think San Diego is going to be your super interesting team with a full season with Fernando Tatis Jr. as the star player on that team. And of course, teams like the Mets and maybe even another team like the Nationals will make some big free agency push and try to go back to the World Series.
Okay, we're hitting it off here in hour two, with leading off, I should say, with some baseball. Right now, we are going to continue the Masters in November conversation with New York Post writer and columnist Mark Cazzanero. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour two, Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. You have dialed in to the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. Always love to hear from our audience at eRadio Sports, info at eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Hey, are your wiper blades, are they chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will install your wiper blades free of charge. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, the November Masters, it is underway 7 months after it was originally scheduled. And in our next segment, we are going to continue our discussion inside the ropes. We are so excited to highlight one of the most anticipated books of 2020. The title is 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes at the Masters. And delighted to welcome back to the program one of our favorites from the New York Post, sports writer and columnist and best-selling author. That is Mark Cazzanero. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing great. This is a super exciting. It's a historic weekend. Of course, Tiger Woods, he is back to defend his title. And one of the biggest storylines is Bryson DeChambeau, whether or not he will be able to overpower the course, and no fans at this year's event. So there's so many different storylines. What stands out in your mind and in one of the most unusual years for you, probably, covering this event?
Well, I think the most unusual thing to me is less the time of year and more the fact that there's no fans here. That, you know, you just, I've always felt like the Masters, more than any other golf tournament, the fans are a fabric of the event. You look back to some of the great, you know, moments in time at this golf tournament, and it's always, you know, you hear that, it's about the roars and the kind of reverberating around the pine trees and this incredible piece of property. And Tiger Woods has spoken about the fact that, you know, those crowds lifted him last year, and were a huge part of, you know, him winning his fifth green jacket. So, you know, it's just really weird to walk around, the grounds here. This is my 26th Masters that I've covered, and just hear silence, basically. And I have essentially no clapping at the first tee when the guys are teeing off, but the best players in the world. And they don't even have ropes up, which is really weird. Normally there's ropes, obviously, you know, lining the fairways, to keep, any spectators from walking out there. And so there's no ropes because there's so few media. They just have some kind of dotted lines along the sides of the fairways, so we know not to walk over those lines. So that's the biggest difference to me. I mean, the weather is very much similar to what it is in April, in November here. The only difference, if you're, the television viewers will notice the azaleas are not in bloom, which is, always a big deal here in April. But other than that, I mean, the grasses are a little bit different. Maybe it doesn't look quite as pristine as it does in April. But I mean, they did yeoman's work just to get this place ready to be up and running, to have this Masters. And I think everybody you talk to, Alyssa, whether it's the players, people like myself who are lucky enough to be here and cover it, and anybody that's just watching, watching home, with a beer in hand on the couch, I think we're all thankful that there is a Masters, after what this year has been like. And, we've lost a lot of sporting events, big ones. The British Open never took place. Wimbledon didn't take place. There's been, many other things that have, been canceled. NCAA tournament, you got on the line. So I think we're all grateful that there is a Masters, and we're in it right now. And by Sunday night, actually Sunday afternoon in this case, I'm sure it's going to be a compelling finish and a memorable moment.
New York Post writer and columnist, you can follow him on Twitter at Mark Casanero, is our very special guest at SportsMap Radio Network. And we talked a little bit about this in hour one, and you mentioned not having patrons and not having fans. And, I was going to ask you, who do you think will play well at this year's Masters? But, for some of the younger competitors, will that be an advantage for them? And maybe, dial down the nerves just a bit if this is their first year at the 84th Masters.
Alyssa, I think it depends on the player. I mean, I covered the PGA Championship in August at Harding Park in San Francisco, where Colin Morikawa, who's one of the young guns out here, played magnificently, especially down the stretch, and seized that moment and won the golf tournament. And I have to think that the fact that there was there were no fans and it was a different vibe. Maybe even a little bit more, for him, like a college event, where there aren't a lot of big crowds. That had to help, to some degree. It certainly, that's not to say he wouldn't have won the golf tournament had there been fans, but I think it's human nature for anybody. I don't care how experienced you are, to be jacked up, when the crowds are going crazy.
Right.
And that's a positive and a negative. There was a lot of talk, I know one of my colleagues, Curtis Strange, I believe was talking on an ESPN broadcast during the week about Bryson DeChambeau winning the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, which is my neck of the woods in New York, obviously. And the New York fans are noted to be pretty boisterous and speak their minds. And Bryson is a very polarizing figure, as we know. He's, some people have a taste for him and some people don't. And you know that if the New York fans are lining those fairways, he was going to hear a little bit of both. you know, and I'm sure, you know, I mean, Bryson has had occasion where he's been a little bit of a whiner. And I don't think the New York sports fans take very kindly to a whiners. So, you know, just as an example. And I think he probably would have heard a little bit of that. He would have heard a little negative, you know, chatter, you know, and would that have affected him at all at Wingfoot during U.S. Open week? I mean, it's human nature to think that all of it does affect these players. You know, before this tournament, Tiger was very, you know, very adamant about how the fact that, you know, he was lifted by the fans last year and their support. Both Tiger and Rory McIlroy during this, you know, PGA Tour restart, which started in June at Colonial, have been on record as saying they found it difficult to play without fans because it's hard to concentrate and kind of keep your intensity up, you know, when it's so quiet and there's no fans out here. So it affects everybody differently, but I do believe that the premise that you mentioned at the top there, you know, has to help the younger, less experienced players. And listen, if one of those players is in the mix on Sunday, you know, on the back nine, it's a Morikawa or a Matthew Wolf or a Xander Schauffele, you know, some of these young, incredibly talented players who have the talent to win this thing, but maybe could use a little extra boost. And, you know, maybe that helps them, one of those guys, you know, when the crowds aren't going nuts on the back nine at Augusta National.
Glad you're with us. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. The 84th Masters is underway and having a wonderful conversation with Mark Casanero, New York Post writer and columnist. You quickly hit on Bryson talking some Tiger, but we've got to discuss Dustin Johnson. After watching him in Houston, I mean, he looks like he's ready to roll and his game is in great shape. Is he one of your favorites?
Well, I actually picked him in the newspaper to win this week because I do feel like he's been in good form. You know, he obviously tested positive for COVID. Fortunately, did not have major symptoms that lasted a couple of days for him. And the Houston event was his first back from that, and he played pretty damn well that week. And if you look at his results, here at Augusta, you know, his last four results have been top 10 or better here. So he's been trending. He's kind of done everything except win the golf tournament here at Augusta. And his record in general, in his last, you know, number of events, he's been in contention or winning, for his last half a dozen events. So, I mean, he's really, I'm not stepping out on a limb because he's ranked number one in the world. So it's kind of, you know, difficult to say, but it's funny you do mention that because we mentioned so many of these storylines, Bryson being at the top of the list and mm-hmm. Tiger certainly defending, Rory going for his to complete career Grand Slam. And we kind of forgot about Brooks Koepka, by the way, who didn't look like he was ever going to lose another major, you know, just about 8-9 months ago. And we don't really talk about Dustin. And here he is with he's trending. He's always in contention. He's one of the most consistent players we've seen in this era. He's won at least one golf tournament every year he's been on pro. We haven't talked about him much, and his form was really good coming into the tournament, and it'll be fascinating to see if he backs it up this week and maybe finally wins a green jacket.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Mark Casanero after this quick break.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network and the Big East Sports Show. Right now, let's continue our conversation with Mark Casanero. Author and New York Post writer and columnist Mark Casanero is our special guest at Sports Map Radio Network. We're going to shift gears. We've got to shine the spotlight on his new book, 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes at the Masters. Tell us about the book and what are our listeners, what are they going to find?
Well, Lisa, what I tried to do with the book was, not to be corny, but I tried to bring the reader to Augusta for the week that I'm here every year. Which is kind of why we came up with the title 7 Days in Augusta, because I generally fly into Augusta on the Monday of that week, and I'm there right through the week, you know, obviously, and leave the following Monday. And it touches on some of the amazing things I've seen on the golf course, which so many golf fans have seen along with me, except that I've been lucky enough to be here. many have seen it on TV. You know, Tigers win in 97 is when obviously last year, you know, Phil, you know, finally breaking through and winning not one Masters, but three. You know, Norman's collapse, you know, just on down the line, Spieth, Rory. So, you know, I incorporate a lot of those things that I've seen on the golf course, but I also tried to blend in a lot of stuff that maybe people don't generally see if they're just sitting there watching the broadcast during Masters Week. And that's, you know, kind of what goes on around the town. You know, I have a chapter on a restaurant here called T-Bones, which is kind of the unofficial, they call it the unofficial 19th hole of Augusta National. It's right up the street. And that's where all the caddies and players have hung out over the years. And, you know, I do a chapter on the Butler Cabin, you know, kind of what does it actually look like inside? You mm-hmm. know, it's kind of this TV studio event that we see, you know, once a year after, you know, after the Masters winner goes down there and gets his green jacket. Just, you know, quirky little things, you know, what goes on under this big oak tree behind the clubhouse, all the movers and shakers in the game of golf convene there for 7 days schmoozing, and, you know, whether it's players, caddies, it's coaches, it's media, TV people, it's you know, tournament directors that come down and try to schmooze the players to try to get them into their events, you know, and it's such a fascinating hustle bustle. So I did a little bit of that, you know, and I just tried to, you know, I just try to bring people here for the week, because the bottom line is, Alyssa, this is the hardest ticket in sports.
Right.
The Masters is without question. I've covered everything. I've covered World Cups. I've covered Super Bowls. The last 30 Super Bowls I've covered. No ticket is more difficult to score than a Masters ticket. So because of that, most people, they don't get a chance to come here and see this. And, you know, most people aren't going to come to Augusta if they don't have a ticket to the tournament. You know, although many do just to come down and party because it's an event, but they don't really get that. And the other thing is the golf course itself obviously is the most exclusive private place on the planet. So you can't come here and score a Saturday afternoon tee time with your pals either, right? So most people can't get in the gates to even see what the place looks like, you know, and it looks different than it does on television, you know. I mean, you hear players constantly talk about, you know, how difficult of a walk it is, you know, the elevation changes of things. You don't get that. You don't see that on television. So I just try to blend a little bit of all of that in to try to give people the experience, and I hope I did a good job of it. You know, it was a really fun project to do because I've done, you know, this is my 26th, I think, as I said. And
yeah.
So I've seen so much here and have a lot to draw on. And it was really fun. You know, I'm a reporter by trade, and it was just fun doing a lot of interviews with people. Just simple, even simple things like speaking to players about their first impressions of coming here. Because this, you know, this place is so magical. Your first impression is just, I mean, it's as eye-opening as anything you see in sports, in my opinion, when you walk through the gate and see this place. So, you know, it was a lot of fun, you know, doing the reporting on the book, speaking to players, you know, and former players about what they've seen, what they've experienced here. Paul Azinger was incredibly good. Phil Mickelson, I owe special thanks to, because he was nice enough to write the foreword to the book for me. I spent a couple of days with him and interviewing him, and he was tremendous, both, you know, in the foreword and with some recollections in the book itself. So, yeah, there was just a lot of fun stuff. It was a really fun project to do, obviously a labor of love for me.
The title of the book is 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes at the Masters. Our special guest, New York Post writer and columnist, is Mark Cazzanero. And, you know, it is interesting talking about this book. I mean, what does it feel like, as you were talking about, for some of the younger rising stars, the first time they drive down Magnolia Lane? I mean, what are some of those emotions?
Well, I mean, it's what's cool about it, Alyssa, is the fact that, yes, it's an incredible experience for the first timers, but you talk to guys who have been coming here for years. I'll use Mickelson as an example. He says he feels like a kid every year when he drives down Magnolia Lane. Now he's 50 this year, right? You know, and now he's gotten into social media, so now he's doing some selfie videos on his drive down Magnolia Lane, kind of slow motion, have a little conversation pieces and stuff. But it really is, you know, Azinger told me, you know, it feels like Disney World to him. I totally feel that vibe. It looks so perfect, it looks fake. You know, and obviously Disney World is manufactured and fake, and of course, this golf course has been designed. You know, but it's, you know, there's not a weed out of place. There's, you know, there's not a, you know, a leaf on the ground. It's just, it's perfection, you know, and if you're a golf junkie, it's like the Mecca, you know. So I got a lot of people just talking about, you know, their experiences watching it on television, you know. I mean, and again, a lot of the players, one of the first things they do mention is the elevation change, because television cameras don't really depict that. You know, you have no idea how, you know, steep some of the hills are in some of the elevation changes, you know, that these guys are playing. And it's, you know, when you're walking around, it's a, you know, it also makes for an incredibly good amphitheater for the fans, or the patrons, as we should say here, because there's so many great, you know, sight lines and places to see because of the elevation.
As we wrap up our time, Mark Cazenero has been our special guest at Sports Map Radio Network. I got to ask you about Tiger. You know, how would you describe when he won the 2019 Masters for a fifth time? I mean, in your mind, is that the greatest comeback in sports history?
If it's not the, it's one of the, without question. You know, I mean, particularly, you know, and I look at Alyssa just not at just, you know, the physical ailments that he's overcome, you know, his back, the back surgeries, and finally, you know, hopefully getting it right with this back fusion, which was kind of a Hail Mary last, you know, last chance. But I also look at just kind of, you know, I mean, let's face it, you know, a decade and change ago, he was, you know, he was in the midst of scandal and his life was an open book, you know, and it was, I mean, I think it took years and years for him to get over that, just the embarrassment of that. You know, I mean, everybody just looks at you differently, you know, when you went through, you know, come through what he did and was exposed for, you know, for the stuff that he was with the infidelities and whatnot. It was, you know, obviously, you know, it was a pretty significant crash and burn for, you know, one of the most recognizable figures on the planet. So, I think what you saw on the 18th green last year was a culmination of all of that, just, you know, spilling out, you know, when he saw his kids, you know, was waiting for him. It was also this incredible full circle moment because in 97, you know, he fell into the arms of his father, you know, who had just had, you know, heart surgery and, mm-hmm. probably shouldn't even have been out there. And, you know, there you are 23 years later falling into the arms of your kids. I mean, that's pretty dramatic, you know, and I will say this, we had a pre-tournament press conference with him, which you probably saw on Golf Channel. I think they broadcasted it. And, you know, when Tiger was recounting those last moments in 2019, he got emotional. I mean, he was holding back tears in the press conference, and you know, Tiger's not a guy that really wears his emotion on his sleeve that way very often over the years. And so that was pretty unique. And on Thursday after the ceremonial first tee shots were hit by the honorary starters, Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player, both of them recounted how emotional Tiger was at the Tuesday night champions dinner. Gary Player actually said that Tiger, you know, had told him that on the way to the champions dinner, he had to pull over to the sea. He was thinking about so many stories. He had to pull over to the side of the road because he got emotional and had a little cry to himself before he came in. He got back to, went into Augusta for the dinner. So, you know, last year clearly still means, you know, more to him than probably any of his victories ever has. And, the other side to it too is, you know, the more, you know, your mortality is kind of there. I mean, you're, maybe that's a little dramatic, but, it's like, I don't want to say it's likely, but it's a pretty darn good chance that's the last major he ever wins.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, he's 44 years old and is, you know, he's hardly playing that much anymore. His form hasn't been great this year. And, you know, I think there's a part of him that realized that might've been it for him possibly. And, you know, he was going to savor it, and he has.
7 days in Augusta behind the scenes at the Masters. Our special guest has been author Mark Cazzanero. You can go anywhere online and get a copy. The holidays are just around the corner, and it is a perfect stocking stuffer. Always a true pleasure to have you on the program. Mark, you take care, be safe, and we'll catch up again real soon. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Hour two. We will be right back.
Is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekend here at Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us live on Twitter at eRadioSports, info at eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com. Today's segment being powered by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs, and you can check them out online, O'ReillyAuto.com. Well, it is week 10 of the NFL season, and we're always ready to talk about the Cowboys. They certainly played a whole lot better last week against the Steelers, and ready to provide the helping hand, and that is our good friend from DFW Sports Beat, Brady Tinker. Hello, Brady. Happy weekend.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
All is well. The Masters is underway, so that's a bright spot for sure. But we want to talk about
one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yes, I know you love golf. Who's your favorite? Let's digress just a moment. Who you got in this weekend's Masters?
Well, I grew up with my grandfather telling me Nicklaus was the only player, so I watched Nicklaus forever. And then when I needed a replacement, I went to the next greatest player in the world. So I'm a monster Tiger fan, but I live in Dallas, so I'm also living and dying with Jordan Spieth and everything that he's going through, and just this. In getting to know him some, you would not meet a finer young man, period. So I'm really rooting for him, too.
Yeah, he'd like to get back to his playing form in 2015. Just diagnose. I mean, what do you think is going on with his game?
I think it's been a lot. But, you know, fundamentally, you know, I was a college golfer, so and a big student of the game. You know, he's got that left arm across his chest a lot of times with that driver. And when you do that, you're asking to get stuck behind it. And the good majority of his misses with that driver are his biggest problem. I mean, his putting's been okay the last year and a half. Not like it was in 15, but not bad. Top 50, which is good enough. And his short game's still good enough, but he can't drive the ball. And if you can't drive the ball, especially on the hard courses like the majors that he was so good at, then, you know, you can't play. But he cleared the decks. He fired his coach. He fired his caddy. He fired everybody coming into Augusta. So, obviously a tough situation for him. But, you know, he'll get it. He'll get it. He's one of the greatest single, you know, I don't know, like the players that can improvise and
yeah,
play their own game, improvisational, I guess is the word, that I've ever seen. So I can't imagine he'll stay down forever.
Hey, DFW Sports Beat, Brady Tinker with the Sports Map Radio Network. Okay, so we did extend the conversation. We weren't planning on talking golf, but some great insight there. But we want to talk about the Cowboys. It's time for a midseason review. Give us your takeaways from the season so far. I mean, it's been really ugly in Dallas. But for all of us Cowboy fans, we got a little glimmer of hope last weekend in Week 9 against the Steelers.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you're hoping for. You know, the season is a loss, and I don't think, even as Cowboy fans, maybe you do, but you don't really want to win the division at 6-10. So I, you know, while it's hard for a new coach, especially to go to a team and not try to win games, they'll be trying to win every week, but they may be trying to win from this point on with some younger players. You know, there's some guys that are their sixth-round draft pick, Bradley Anye, I think is how you say it, a defensive end / linebacker type, needs to play. He's only played six plays. Let him play. Let some of these guys play. And they're going to be forced to because, you know, they got an injury to their rookie cornerback who has made great plays and also has had a tough season, but I believe he's a true player. So at this point, you know, I mean, honestly, and I'm never up for this, if they didn't win another game, it would probably be a good thing. And I know that's hard for the fans and everything else, but this organization brought in a new coach and they were unlucky in that they brought in a new coach who set up a whole new offense that's complicated. And they set up a whole new defense that's complicated. And with no mini camps, no rookie camps, very little training camp, they weren't ready. Now, to me, they weren't ready mentally either. But that's what's put them in this place. And even though they've been better the last 2 weeks, I've liked the effort better, right? Giving up, I think, 23 and 24 points still. You know, they're going in the right direction. I railed a little bit with you a week or two ago, basically saying that what had to change first was the culture. You know, that you have to have players that demand of each other that they play really hard on every single play. And I think they've done better with that the last 2 weeks.
So I hear you saying it is time to tank for the Cowboys?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, because the truth is, it could put you in a great place, at least. Listen, if they happen to get one of the first two picks, then they have a shot at a phenomenal quarterback. And I'm not saying that Dak is not the guy. I'm saying that as this thing goes along, and Jerry has been almost called a liar here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in the last week, because when asked on a local radio show, if you pick in the top three, let's say, and there's a quarterback available, are you considering that? And he laughed and said, no, not at all. Dak is our quarterback. But let's be honest, this isn't a sprained ankle. This isn't a severely sprained ankle. Mm-hmm. This is an ankle that broke in two, you know, that poked out of his skin. This is a major, major injury to a relatively young man in NFL parlance who plays with his legs and his butt. He plays with his lower half. And so for all of us just to assume that he's going to be 100% by next year, even if it's a few games into next year, and that you're going to give him 5 years and whatever, $40 million a year, seems to me to be a great stretch, because they weren't wanting to do it anyway. So the point is, if they can pick in the top three, let's say, and have a chance at one of those quarterbacks, I think it'll take top two, then they would have choices. Because if Dak's all the way back, which they'll monitor every step of the way, he's here in town, he's doing everything he's supposed to do, he's being with the team, and he's doing everything every single minute of every day that he's supposed to do. But they'll monitor him, and right up to the draft, if there's any uncertainty about Dak Prescott's leg, then I think you'd like to have the choice. You'd like to have the choice to draft one of those two quarterbacks, because they're both very NFL-looking quarterbacks.
DFW Sports Beat, Brady Tinker with us at Sports Map Radio Network. And, you know, that was going to be one of my questions. I mean, should Dallas keep Dak, or should they chase Trevor Lawrence? I mean, what do you like about Trevor?
I like them both. I like Fields, too. I really do.
Okay,
Okay. He's gotten a lot better this year, a lot. Like, there were some things last year that were a little off. Once he got past his first read, he panicked a little bit. To be honest with you, some of the stuff that we saw with Dak early in his career, and in all fairness, he was a fourth-round draft pick. But this year, he's gotten a lot better. He's gotten a lot better with the traffic around him, and he's gotten a lot better stepping up and around and moving around the pocket. And I think they're both NFL quarterbacks, maybe really good ones. So, yes, I just want them to have every option. You know what I mean? Life's about options, right? We go to school, hopefully, because it gives us more options, right? We do the right things. We pay our taxes because we want options. We want our life to be able to go how we want it to go. Well, ideally for the Cowboys, they have an option to pick one of those two quarterbacks right up until the draft. And if they think their quarterback's not healthy, then they do it. Or if they think their quarterback is healthy, but the questions that they've had about him that have caused him not to pay him yet make them want to say, you know what, he's healthy. We love him to death. Everyone loves him here, but we're going to slap the franchise tag on him and we're going to trade him. And those are options. And those are options that can swing your organization one way or another. Because to sit here now and say that we know Dak's going to be all right is silly. We don't. We don't know he's going to be all right. We don't know he's going to be 100%. We don't.
Okay, so we talk about Dak. I want to have you provide an assessment and weigh in on head coach Mike McCarthy. Did the Cowboys, did they make a mistake by hiring him?
No, I don't think so. He did what he did, and I don't think that you can undo it, and I don't think that there's anyone out there who's going to come in who's going to command the respect more of this team. Parcells isn't coming back. You know, that's the kind of hard nose, you know, that might straighten some people up. He'd make a few cuts and whatever, but there would still be the thing between he and Jerry, and I think Bill's too old. I don't think he wants to do it anymore. But I can't think of any other, you know, veteran coaches that are out there that would come in with enough skins that you'd say, okay, this guy's really going to get their attention, right? This guy's going to scare them a little bit. This guy's going to, that person isn't out there. And McCarthy's won a Super Bowl. Now, naysayers may say, yep, with one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Okay. I mean, that's true, but he still won it. He still got everybody on his, you know, extended 60-man roster to play together. He had a good record. He's been through playoffs and playoff runs. And I think he's creative. And in today's day and age, it's the creative coaches that also have the respect of everybody that are winning. Andy Reid's one of the most creative coaches ever. They're being very creative in Baltimore. I think, you know, they've while they're hard nosed in Pittsburgh, they're creative on offense. And I think, you know, he's the right guy. It was a tough circumstance, but you know, for any coach to succeed here, really succeed like people want him to, the owner and his son are going to have to let everybody in that locker room know that's the guy. He can fire you. He can bench you. He can do whatever he wants. We're not going to meddle. And that really hasn't happened since 1996.
So you were talking about Jerry Jones, the owner, being on the radio this past week. I mean, what do you think his thought process is right now?
Well, I hope, you know, I'm going to sound arrogant. I hope it's what I just said. I hope that, and this, they do like to do that they're keeping their options open. You know, when asked, would you draft a quarterback in the first two picks, there is absolutely no reason for him to say yes. There's not. That would be a slap in the face to Dak Prescott, who's going through a traumatic injury and a person that they love. So they would never say that. So, you know, I think the problem for Jerry has been for the last, whatever, 8 or 10 years is his own mortality. You know, he's not, and I'm not wish, I love Jerry. I really do.
Right.
I really do. But, I mean, how much longer is he going to be healthy and be able to be the man and watch his team have a chance to, God, for God's sakes, get to the playoffs, right? And win a damn playoff game and, you know, get deep into the playoffs and play in an NFC championship game. So that is always over this team. There is no rebuild in this team, right? There is no developmental year, right? There isn't. And, you know, that's been a problem for this team. And that's why they've grabbed, you know, free agents that didn't work, why they've reached for hurt players in the draft that didn't work. You know, you name it, they've made plenty of mistakes. And most of that, to be honest with you, is on Jerry. Will McClay, you know, who runs the drafts and who runs the scouting department, is the best. He's phenomenal. He's borderline genius in how he has his scouts working players and what they're looking for and knowing what this team needs. He really is. He's great. But nobody's in charge on this team except the owner. And that's what it comes down to in the end. And that is what undermines this team. As much as I like him and he knows plenty of football, this is no way to do it. You have to let your coach run the team. You have to let your GM draft the team. You have to let Steven, you know, negotiate the contracts and you be the owner. The problem is he's the GM.
DFW Sports Beat, Brady Tinker with us at SportsMap Radio Network. Let's pause, have you connect with our audience. Tell us about your podcast, and I have to just kind of wonder, what is the pulse of some of the former Cowboys players with the owner, Jerry Jones?
Well, most of them are being pretty kind in that, you know, a season with no preseason was always going to be tough in terms of injuries, and certainly unlucky that they had to implement, you know, a new offense and a new defense and new special teams and everything else. Really, the only thing that's been pretty good is the special teams. So most of them are saying, listen, the big difference in these teams, besides setting aside, you know, my complaints with ownership and the soft nature of this organization, is that they don't practice twice a day anymore. They don't tackle. They don't, you know what I mean? I mean, so when I talk to Randy White or Cliff Harris or, you know, Too Tall Jones or some of the greats, like, listen, you know, the league is soft because they don't tackle at practice, you know? And you know, yeah, young people hate to hear from old people how it was in their day, but the bottom line is these guys used to tackle. They used to put pads on 4 or 5 days a week and go out there and hit each other.
You bet.
And they used to know, you know, when Sunday came around who wanted to play because that person had been willing to slobber knocker people on Thursday. And so it's so different. So the tackling's bad, you know? The money's monstrous. On the other hand, I mean, it's all just different, you know. To say that it's a different world is you know, understating things, especially in 2020. Nothing should surprise you, you know, in 2020. But I just think that the teams that win, that you consistently look up and down the NFL and say that team seems like it's always at least vying for the playoffs or in the playoffs and has a shot. You know, how many of them are there? 6 or 7, and they have things in common like hard-ass offensive lines, hard-ass defensive lines, right? 8 or 9 guys rallying to the ball, not turning the ball over, right? No, less dumb penalties, all of those things. And if you're a true Cowboy fan, you know this team hasn't turned the ball over with any regularity in 10 years and that they do suffer silly head-shaking penalties and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's a tough go for them, but they can change it. They can affect it. They have, you know, a lot of the right people here. But for this season, I want people who want to play football, period. And if it's not somebody who's making lots of money, then he can go stand on the sidelines and watch, because that's the only thing that that they really respond to is playing time.
Our NFL news and notes continues with Brady Tinker after this timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue our Cowboys conversation from DFW Sports Beat, and that is Brady Tinker. Okay, so Brady, where can our listeners go and check out some of these long-form interviews with former Cowboy players?
Yeah, they're really not interviews, they're stories. So none of these guys are talking Cowboys football with me, other than how it affected their lives.
Okay.
And so I'm interviewing people from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, the 2000s and today's team. Now, in the last 9 months, there have been a lot less guys from today's team because we don't have access to them. Even when we're around them, but all we're distance and we're on Zoom calls and stuff like that with 15 other people. So most of what we've done this year has been guys from past eras. I'm getting ready to post a couple of Charles Haley interviews, which I've been waiting on.
Oh, nice. Okay,
love Charles. If you know Charles Haley, weren't easy.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know that story.
No, I don't.
But he had worn a snowman costume to the game that he'd worn the night before to a costume party, and he ended up on fire, a Roman candle. So there are two parts to that story, and it's up as well. It's all website-wise, acowboylife.com. Just not Cowboys, acowboylife.com. And it's every podcast platform, A Cowboy Life, the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just stories. They've told me stories.
Hey, it is week 10 of the NFL season. The Cowboys are actually off this weekend. Up next will be the Vikings. We do not have time to preview that game, but our very special guest has been Brady Tinker. We love him. DFW Sports Beat. Simply the best. Thank you, Brady. You stay safe. We'll talk soon, okay?
Hey, I look forward to it. Have a good weekend.
That, of course, was Brady Tinker joining us this weekend on Sports Map Radio Network. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests and our lineup. All of you, enjoy our Masters in November. And we'll see you.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Finding pregnancy support you can trust is worth celebrating. Getting it on sale is worth belting Beyonce in your car. That's right. Ritual's Black Friday sale is on. Support your body's new nutrient needs with their clinically backed prenatal multivitamin. Or give back to your gut with Natal Biotic, a probiotic supplement for trying, pregnancy, and postpartum to support digestive, vaginal, and baby's immune health. At Ritual, quality is top priority. All of their supplements are clean, third-party tested for heavy metals, and 100% made traceable. Because you deserve high-quality support at every stage of your pregnancy journey. Cut prices without cutting corners and get their best savings on their best supplements with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.